Good. And I was looking up this morning at the choir, and some of those forgot to set their clocks, apparently. But I was looking at Brother Jason, and you were the old guy. I thought, man, he's got all these young guys around him, and these teenagers, young men, they were up there, and this one old guy just in the middle there. But you did a great job carrying those guys along with you. Anyway, why don't you come and read Scripture for us?
You know, young at heart is what it is. I've been so old. But yeah, I was the old guy. But I got a good crew that is working with me. Thank goodness. John chapter 2. Turn to John chapter 2. I was telling Mr. Hayes, we're down with 7 or 8 or however many we're down. And he was coming out behind us. And I said, man, it's lonely at the top because somebody didn't hold. I don't know if anyway, he's walking through by himself. So I held the door for him. But I told him, I said, I heard a guy this week say, he said, man, it's lonely at the top. He said, man, down at the bottom, it's a traffic jam. He said, everybody's down there. And I thought, man, that's about right these days. You know, I was thinking this week, and it came to me, and I like to think of Dad's comments that have helped me, and I know this probably helped you all as well at some point. But, you know, Dad often said, strengthen your strengths. He said, don't focus on your weaknesses, strengthen your strengths. And it's so true. You know, I was thinking about even my own prayer life, and I don't know about you all, but this week, you know, so oftentimes you get in your prayer and you get into the walk of life, and you focus on your weaknesses. You're like, man, you know, I didn't do that right. I didn't do that right. But it's so important to make sure too that we focus on our strengths. And the devil wants us to get us off base and to focus on those things that are weak. But I just encourage you, you know, just think about the things that you do well. None of us are righteousness or filthy rags. We know that. But the things that you do well, focus on those and do those. And I was thinking about him. He came back this week in my prayer life. I was praying, and I could remember, strengthen your strengths. Think about those things you do well. And, man, just focus on those and really try to make those a part of your life and strengthen those strengths that you have in your life. John chapter 2. We read verses 19 through 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years is this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to come worship in your house. And Lord God, just the opportunity to be here, Lord, Lord, with those, Lord, that, Lord, many have trusted Christ as Savior, Lord. And then, Lord, if there are any that have not trusted Christ as Savior, Lord, what a great day to get in on the plan of salvation, on eternal life. And God, all that you have promised us, Lord, I don't know how people in this day and age can make it through without Christ on their side and without Christ as their Savior, Lord. It's such a tough time, Lord, to live, Lord God, rely on anything. There is no truth, Lord God, except for Jesus Christ. And Lord God, I pray that we would rely on that. Lord, be with each and every one here, Lord God, that's here in this building. And those that aren't here, Lord, just pray that, Lord, you would work in each of our lives. So we just thank you, Lord, for Lord, your word. And Lord, this specific, Lord, as we work our way towards Easter. And Lord God, I can imagine as the disciples, Lord, as they live through it. And Lord God, it's easy for us, Lord, we look back and say, man, Lord, yeah, this happened in the Bible. This is plain to us. But Lord God, those on the ground, Lord, during those days, and Lord, Christ is crucified on the cross. What a dark time. What a dark, dark time. But Lord God, then, what a glorious time. Lord God, as you rose from the grave, and Lord, they saw you, Lord, they believed. And Lord God, now we have the same, Lord, opportunity to get in on your plan, again, of salvation and eternal life. Be with the message hour. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jason, for that. And as always, thanks for the music this morning with the choir. And then Mrs. Antic with the special. And then Zachary and Emma with the offertory. And we're doing our ODICE competition this year, and they competed in that. We had to do everything virtual, so everything had to be filmed and sent in. So that's a little different. The advantage of that, I guess, is the pressure's off a little bit for that. The disadvantage is you don't know the results, so we're still waiting on all that the next week or two. But anyway, they did a great job again this morning on that. read those verses in John chapter 2, and we talked last week about the fact that we mentioned, especially with Peter, whether Jesus knows our future, right? Jesus knows the future. He knows what's going to happen. He knew what was going to happen in Peter's life. He knew what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen in our life. He knows tomorrow. He knows next week, the week after that. He knows all those things that are coming up in our life. And so, as we talked about last week, if he knows that, then it should be that we'd want to be as close to him as possible. We want to have our fellowship right with him, of course, to know the future for us, for our souls for eternity. It's tied into what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so that it's important for Peter to understand what Jesus did and for us as well. But this morning I'm going to talk about this. We're only a few weeks away from Easter. And so as we read these passages this morning, in fact, we'll get to a couple that really are a little closer within the first few days there that Jesus was going to be crucified. But this thought, as I was reading through this week, we read here in John chapter 2, and so we see that Jesus tells them what's going to happen in verse number 19, destroy this temple. In 3 days I will raise it up. And so he's talking about, of course, his body. They don't realize that until later. It mentions that in verse 22. But this is very early in Jesus' ministry. And we're going to go to a few passages, mostly in John here. And one is right after this. We'll start in verse 22 in just a minute. But I thought about this about Jesus. So Jesus knows our future. Jesus knew the future of Peter, knew the future of John, knew all those things. We talked about last week. But think about this. Jesus also knew his own future. He knew what was coming. You think about that this morning. What if you knew what was coming? Now we do. We know what's going to happen. We talked about last week. You know one day that Jesus is coming back. We know that's coming. Now we don't know when, but we know he's coming back. Suppose you knew he was coming back in 3 days. What would that change in your life right now? Suppose you knew that. We know that there's coming a day when we get to spend eternity forever in heaven with Christ. We know that's coming. If we're saved, we know that's true. But what if we knew which day it was going to be that we're going to heaven? What are those of you that are younger, and even those of us that are older, what if we knew what was coming up? I think about the things. We look around this room, and everybody's got different stories and things that have happened in their life, and some of those have been obviously good. Some of those that are trials that we had to go through. Suppose you had known. Some of you have had to deal with maybe cancer or maybe the loss of a loved one. Suppose you knew that was coming before. I mean, you knew as Jesus did at the beginning of your life or the beginning of your adult life, whatever it may be, that you knew exactly what was coming. And those things that are coming, are not always going to be things that we want to go through. And God doesn't tell us everything, right? He doesn't tell us everything up front. He doesn't tell us this is going to happen or this is what's next in your life. But Jesus did know. And Jesus knew a lot of things, but he knew what was coming. And I want to go through a few things that he knew here. Look at John chapter 2, verse 22. We touched on this last week, but we'll take a little more time with it this morning. Look at verse 22. When therefore he's risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus said. Then look at verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, the feast day, many believed his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. The Bible says that Jesus knew all men. Now that's true obviously today, but that was true when Jesus was here on earth. Every person that Jesus came in contact with, because he was God, he knew those men. He knew everything about them. And we talked about a little last week. He could tell Nathaniel. He could say something to Nathaniel. Said, I saw you. And it's amazing, Nathaniel. How do you know that about me? Tell that to the woman at the well and tell her about her life and the husbands that she had had. And that just amazed her that Jesus knew those things about her. But Jesus knew that about everybody. The Bible says here, he did not commit himself unto them. He understood what men were like. He understands what we're like. So he didn't commit himself to them. That doesn't mean Jesus wasn't willing to go through what he went through, because he was, and he did. But he also understood what men were like. In fact, it tells us, look in this passage here in verse 23. It says, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did.
They were looking for the miracles. They weren't necessarily looking for a relationship with Christ, but they were looking for the miracles. And Jesus knew that about them. In fact, go to another passage. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, a little further up. In John chapter 2, Jesus knew that there were some that were there, that all they were there for was for the miracles. Hey, Jesus could do something for them, so for those miracles, they were willing to come around him and stay around. Look at John chapter 6 and verse 24. John chapter 6, verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Look at these people. Man, these must be dedicated followers of Christ. Boy, the Bible says they paid for the way to get over this water, to get on boats, to get on ships. They did everything. They went to try to find Jesus. Look at verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Verse 26, Jesus answered him and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. He understood that, hey, these were following because they wanted what he provided for them. The meat that he provided for them. The physical things he took care of had been the feeding of 5,000 happened just before that. And so they were looking for what they... And by the way, there's some people, they come to church, or they live a life that they try to act spiritual, but to see what they can get out of Jesus. That's what they're trying to do. That's all they're trying to do. Get some of that. And Jesus knew that. He knew he didn't commit himself to men because he knew what was in man. He knew those that were looking, that were basically using Jesus. We've had that happen. And I'm not talking about using our church, I'm talking about using Jesus. And you'll see it in people. They'll maybe the kids are small, so they'll try to get in church for the kids, and then when the kids are grown, they'll just sort of fade away. They're just trying to get whatever benefit they can get, right? Whatever makes them feel better. And so they're looking for something for themselves, and not necessarily for a relationship with Christ or something they want to serve the Lord or do something for the Lord. This group came because they were hoping they could get something out of them. You know what, this morning, Jesus knows why you're here. Now, if you got up this morning and lost that out of sleep, that shows some dedication, right? But he knows why you're here. He knows why you're here. He knows the reason behind why you came to church this morning, why you're here in this place. He knows that, and he knows the reason why those that aren't here, he knows why they're not here. But Jesus knows because he knows our heart. He knows what the Bible says back in John chapter 2. He knows what's in you. And because he knows what's in you this morning, guess what? He also knows exactly what you need this morning. He knows your heart. He knows what's inside you this morning. So he knows what you need. He knows what the needs are in your life. And so he's ready to meet those needs. But Jesus knew these men. In fact, if you follow this, and we'll go to the end of this chapter here in just a minute in John chapter 6. But if you follow this in John chapter 6, you'll find out at the end of this chapter, guess what happens? The Bible says many of these quit following him. You know why? Because they were only following Jesus for what they could get out of him. And when that's not there anymore, when they're not seeing the benefits of that, then they quit following him. And you'll see that happen in churches amongst Christians. Make sure we're following Christ for the right reasons, and we still should be faithful to the house of God, and we still should be here, and it doesn't mean you should quit, but it does mean that your heart should be right, because Jesus knows what's in your heart. And he knows why you're here, and he knows what you need. So Jesus knows all men. He knew all men. In John chapter, you didn't look at John chapter 6, you're already there. Turn to the end of the chapter. Look at verse 61. Verse 61, and as Jesus begins to teach, and they're not getting fed physically anymore, and Jesus isn't doing any miracles here in John chapter 6, he's just teaching them doctrine. And he's telling them, I am the bread of life, and he's telling them, you can be fulfilled through me. You don't need all this other stuff. Some of them don't like that. In fact, even his disciples begin to murmur in verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said to them, Doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Now notice this, verse 64, where Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. From the beginning, Jesus knew who those were that were going to continue following him, who those that didn't believe him, and then those who were going to betray him. You know, I wonder how we would act if we knew this morning what everybody in here thought of us. If I was looking around, if I could just look at your faces this morning and it just came to me what you thought of me. Y'all quit smiling so much, all right? And what you thought of me. I know the thoughts that are going through your mind. No, but what if we knew? I could go around this morning and I could go to each one of you and I could say, hey, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there'd be somebody that you would come to your mind. You say, man, that person, they're going to be with me all the time. Boy, they're going to be right with me. And today, they're not. They're not. Now, there's others that you could look at and you could say, boy, I knew back then that guy was rotten, right? Or I knew that they weren't going to do right. I mean, I think about that. I was able to work with our young people for over 20 years and enjoyed every minute of it. And I tell you this morning, there's some young people I would have said, there's no way they won't be in church. And they're not in church. I'm not talking about it's not in this church, it's not in church. Or their lifestyle or what they're doing today. You say, boy, I tell you what, one thing, that young person, I'm confident they're going to do right. And they're not. Now, on the other side, there'd be some that I say, boy, I'm not really sure about that. And today they are doing right and they're serving God. Listen, we don't know those things. We can look and we can guess and we can try to see some signs of things, and we understand that. But I think it's you think about the people you knew. What if everybody you saw, you knew exactly where they stood on everything and what they believed and what they were doing and what they believed about you? Jesus knew that about everybody, and yet, look what he did in his time here on earth. Look how he treated them. He knew who would betray. He knew that what we celebrate is Palm Sunday. He knew that those who were shouting Hosanna on that Sunday, the next week would be saying, crucify him. He knew that. He knew that as he went through that. He knew that some of those, we talked about feeding 5,000, some of those that he fed there, that crowd there, 5,000 that he fed, he knew that some of those would be mocking him, would be persecuting him. He knew that some of those that were saying great things about him then and were praising him would be blaspheming him within a short period of time. And yet, he still treated them the same way. How would we be able to do that? You know how hard it is for us when we know something about somebody? And Jesus knew it about everybody. He knew exactly. He had Judas with him for 3.5 years. He knew that Judas would betray him. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I mean, what would we have done to Judas, right? If we knew that's the one that's going to betray us, man, I can't believe that we would have wanted him around us for a minute. And yet, for 3.5 years, Jesus knew that. Matthew chapter 26, and look at verse number 21. And you would think Judas, through this time period, had to have some inkling that maybe Jesus knew what was going on. But look at verse 21. Now it's out in the open for Judas, at least. And so they have the Lord's Supper, and verse 21, as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And these apostles couldn't believe that. Verse 23, and he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. Jesus knew who was going to betray him. And yet, go to verse 50. Look at verse 50, same chapter. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Jesus knew that Judas would betray him, yet he could still look at him and say, friend, wherefore art thou come? You know what Jesus did up until the last minute? He did everything he could for Judas to turn away. He gave him every opportunity. Judas had every opportunity to get right. And if that had been us, we wouldn't have given Judas any opportunities, right? If we knew this was what was going to happen, that was what was in his heart. And Judas had allowed Satan to get in there. And yet Jesus knew that. He knew who was going to betray him and yet still called Judas his friend. Could we have done that for 3.5 years? And given Judas every opportunity, knowing that he was going to betray. And yet Jesus knew that, and he did. Because, you know, Jesus knew all men. He knew those that would not believe, those who wouldn't follow him. He knew those who would betray him. And then go to John chapter 13. Jesus knows all men. He does. Jesus knew from the beginning those that would follow him, those that betray him. That would also mean he knew those who would believe, those who would stay faithful. And Jesus gave them all the opportunity to do right. John chapter 13, here's something else Jesus knew. So we get a little closer to that time. Look at John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Jesus knew that his hours would come. Jesus knew before it came. Jesus knew as he went through his earthly ministry here on earth, he knew what was coming. He knew his hour was coming. He knew that time where Bible says he would depart out of this world. He knew that was coming. You say, well, of course, he's the Son of God. He was sent here for that purpose, right? He was sent here to be sacrificed for our sins. He was sent here to pay the payment for us. That's something that he had to do. Of course, he knew it. He was God. He knew what was coming. Go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And all those things are true. He did. That was the plan. That was what God from Genesis 3:15 had talked about, that sacrifice that would come. That's what the Old Testament pointed towards. And we understand all that. And Jesus, as God, knew what was coming. But look at Mark chapter 14, verse 32. And they came to a place which is named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. He said, Jesus knew. But just because he knew doesn't mean it was... Jesus said, take it from me. Because he knew it was coming. He knew the separation from God the Father. He knew the sins of the world were coming on him. And he said, will you please take this from me? Sometimes I think we look at it and say, well, I mean, we understand it's a big deal what Jesus did, but that's what he had to do. No, Jesus chose to do that for us, knowing what he's going through. He knew exactly what he's going to have to go through. And again, we think about what we've had to endure in our life, and there's some things that maybe you've had to endure. That if you knew all the pain and all that was coming, you would have said, boy, well, how can I avoid this, right? Is there any way I can avoid this? I'm trying to think of the greatest physical pain I had. I have a couple different times, but have not. Ladies haven't had to bear any children, so I haven't had to be where you are. But I had kidney stones a couple times, and those are pretty painful. And you know what it makes you think? Think back to, boy, what was it that I ate, drank, whatever. Man, I wish I had never done that, right? Hey, well, what I would do, if you told me, hey, no more ice cream for the rest, I love ice cream, no more ice cream for the rest of your life, and you won't have any kidney stones, okay, I can do it. I'll just quit it, all right? I don't want to go through that pain in that moment. And yet we look at what Jesus did. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew. So much so here that the Bible says he prayed and said, if there's any way, notice what he says in verse 36, all things are possible unto thee, right? With God, nothing's impossible. So if all things are possible, it means it's possible that maybe this cup could be taken from me. But then, of course, what does he say at the end of verse 36? Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And as we get to the end of this passage, look at verse number 41. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. He knew. You know, he knew. This is, you think about, well, God's always in control, and God was in control of what happened here. But Jesus, as the Son of God, was about to give himself over into the hands of sinners. He was about to allow the sinners to be in charge of him, of his body, of what was going to happen to him. I mean, all through his ministry, Jesus was in control. And yet Jesus was about to voluntarily give up that control. Go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Jesus voluntarily gave himself for us. He allowed these sinners, just like us, to be in control of what was going to happen. Look at John chapter 19. Love this passage here and the interaction that goes on between Pilate and Jesus. Look at verse number 10. Actually, look at John chapter 19, verse 10. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Pilate says, Don't you know what I can do to you? I can crucify you. I can release you. Jesus didn't say a whole lot during this time, but notice what he says, verse 11. Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. He says, You have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. The only reason they had power to do what they wanted with Jesus is because Jesus gave that up to them. He voluntarily gave himself for us. There was nothing that man could do against Jesus. He could have called, as he mentions, legions of angels if he wanted to, but instead he gave his life for us. Back to John 13. Why in the world would he do that? He knew what was coming. Jesus could see. He knew exactly what he was dealing with, what he was going through. Back to John 13, verse 1. He knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. You know why he did it? Because he loved us. Because he loved you and me. He loved us. What does Philippians 2 say also? It says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He obeyed his Father. He loved us. His love for us caused him to sacrifice himself, to give of himself for us. Jesus knew the sacrifice. He knew our hearts. And yet the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew it was in your heart, and yet he still died for you. He knew how much you would, what you would do against him. You think about all we've done to, there's no way, and these people that try to work their way to heaven or do something to make up for them, there's no way we can repay Jesus what we've done to him. I heard an example this week, and this is sort of like it, but this was using a different example, but I'll use one that's a little closer to home here. Right down the road here on River Road, and I don't think it's there anymore. Now, but there's a man that lived just right a few houses down here that had a yellow Lamborghini. Did anybody ever see that? Had a yellow Lamborghini. He used to drive it up and down the road here a little bit. Had a yellow Lamborghini. And it probably cost more than his house did. And I remember he had it kept in the garage there. Think about this. What if he got that out, and I'm driving my 96 Honda Accord, and I'm pulling out of the church parking lot as he goes by. I don't see him, and I just total that thing. Some of you are starting to cry right now, just thinking about it. I got out and I said, man, I am so sorry. And I pulled up my wallet and I said, look, I'll give you what? I got 10 bucks. Here, take that. Now, what's he going to tell me? There is no way you could ever compensate me for what you just did. And yet, you multiply that a million times over, and that's what we try to do with God when we try to bring our works to him. We can't compensate Christ for what he did for us. There's no way. We can't compensate him for what we've done to him. We can't pay that back. We can never come close to paying that back. He died for us, knowing exactly what we were, knowing exactly what he was going to have to suffer through, and yet with that knowledge, he still went to the cross for us. This morning, you can't do enough good works. You know why? Because he knows your heart. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Jesus knew us. Mr. Ben sang the song Thursday. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. One of the lines from there is what? He knew me, yet he loved me. Hey, Jesus knows you. That's amazing to me. And he knows me, and he still loves me. Jesus loves us. He knew what was coming. He knew what those that would crucify him, he knew the sacrifice. Last verse, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hey, Jesus knew us. He knew all men. He knew our hearts. He knows our hearts. Jesus knew those that would betray him, those that would not believe. He knows that today. He knew exactly what he's going to have to go through. He knew the sacrifice, and yet, the Bible says here, he endured the cross. Jesus knew all that, and you know what? He still came for you, and he still came for me. And this morning, if you're not saved, Jesus came for you. This morning, if you are saved, Jesus came for you. Boy, that should motivate us to do more for him. Father, I thank you for the fact that Jesus knew the future. I can't imagine that, Lord, if we knew everything that was going to happen in our life. Sometimes we think, boy, that'd be a wonderful thing. But Lord, you knew everything you were going to have to endure. You knew what the cross was going to be like. You knew the pain that you were going to go through. You knew all that was going to have to be done. And Lord, if we don't think that was a big deal, we read what you said, that you asked to be taken, that be taken away from you. And yet, knowing that, knowing us, knowing what would happen, knowing our hearts, knowing our sin, you still came for me. Lord, you knew, and yet you still loved me. Lord, help us to love you more than ever. Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, there's someone this morning helping to trust you with their salvation if they've never done that before. But Lord, there's around this room, those that are saved, Lord, help us to realize all that you did for us, knowing our hearts. You know right now what our hearts are like. Lord, help us to make decisions this morning where we do more for you in Jesus' name. If everybody's standing with head bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, let me ask you this morning, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Everybody standing and we don't know everything about our futures. We talked about last week, though. We do know if we're saved through Jesus Christ, we have an eternity waiting for us, a home in heaven. If you're like that this morning, say, I know for sure I'm saved. You just put your hand up just like I'm doing, saying, I know I'm saved this morning. You put your hand right back down. If you're here this morning, you say this. You say, I'm just not sure I'm saved. Hey, Jesus Christ came for you. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done, but Jesus does. Yeah, but you don't know my heart and what I've lived, but Jesus does, and he still came for you. You're here this morning and say, I'm just not sure about my salvation. I don't know for sure if I'd go to heaven if I died today. Pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. But say, pray for me. Just slip your hand up and say, I'm just not sure I'm saved. If you're not sure this morning, make sure. Make sure. See someone up front here if you're not sure about your salvation. And then listen, if you're saved this morning, Jesus knows you. He knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows why you're here. He knows what you're planning on doing this week. He knows all those things. He still loves you. And it should be, as we realize Jesus knows us and still loves us. What does the Bible say? We love him because he first loved us. It should be we love him even more. As the music plays this morning, as the Lord spoke to you, you come this morning.
enjoy the day today, beautiful day today. Enjoy the extra hour of sunlight we get tonight. And be back in here at 6 o'clock. So 6 o'clock tonight for the service. Looking forward to that. And, man, have a great, great Sunday and a great week coming up. Man, we're just looking forward to this time of year. I love the springtime. And hopefully get keep going here with the sunshine and with the somewhat warmer weather. As Mr. Hayes mentioned, I don't mind a little chill at night. It's fine, but looking forward to this week. And have a great week and continue to pray for those in our church that need that. And see y'all back tonight. Father, I pray that you'd be with us as we go out from here. Excited about what you have for us, Lord. And we know you know the future. You know what's coming. And, Lord, there's things we look at and sometimes with trials. But we also know there's a lot of good things ahead. And a lot of those trials lead to growth and lead to the good things you have for us, the blessings in our lives. And, Lord, it's a good thing in many ways that we don't always know because we may have tried to avoid something that would have helped us a whole lot more if we'd gone through it. And so I pray that you'd help us to trust you, to allow you to work in our hearts and our lives on a regular basis, Lord. And this week, allow you to lead us because you know what we need. You know our hearts. And so bless us, give us a great week, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.